I now look at politics in a completely different light. People don't want politicians. They don't want a president. They don't want a senator. They don't want a representative. They don't want a mayor. They don't want what they want is a hero. They want the guy that's going to do it for them and fix their life so their life is better, so that they don't have to do it on their own. They don't give a crap what his title is. It makes no difference to them about what laws are passed, what policies are passed. All they care is that please pass a policy, Mr. Hero, that will make my life better.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Therefore, they can stay willfully ignorant. As Thomas Jefferson said, those that expect to be ignorant and free expect what never has been and never will be. And so everybody thinks that these people did it for them. If you look at what Mason said about setting up an electoral college, they did that because they didn't want the general population voting for the chief executive. Mason said giving the common man the right to vote for the chief executive would be the same thing as giving a blind man a choice of colors. But they did it for themselves and their posterity. That's what it says in the Declaration and the Constitution. We pledged to each other. The reason they were pledging to each other is 80% of the people in the colonies were still loyalists. Because the biggest lie that was ever told was no taxation without representation. The king was not taxing the colonists. It was the nobility who had the land grants that were taxing the colonists. That would have been people like Patrick Henry, people that were sitting in the House of Burgesses underneath the nobility, where they were the ones that got the land grants for the king. And so they were charging taxes so that they could run a government over the colony, even though it may have still been ultimately what was called a royal colony. But the king was not taxing the colonists. That only ever happened when they passed the Stamp Act and they passed the Townshend Act, and that was to tax the merchants. And it was to tax the merchants because there was so much smuggling going on. The king and the nobility, there was Lord North in the Parliament. He actually lowered tax on the East India Company, told them to quit coming into British ports where they had to pay a 5% tax at the custom house, and instead go straight to America, lower the tax so that they could compete with the smugglers. Because if you look at Massachusetts Bay Colony, the governor of the colony said at that time that 85% of the tea was sold by the smugglers. I mean, business is business. If they got away with it, they got away with it. The only thing about getting away with it means you're still under British rule, and the king and the parliament set the rules. And so if they said that there was a tax on customs duty, and that's actually written into the land grants. When I read the land grant in the Notes on the State of Virginia by Thomas Jefferson, it actually says in there that the king freed the company forever from all taxation except for the 5% due custom according to the ancient trade of merchants on imports into and out of British dominions. So this had nothing to do with the king taxing the people. That's the big lie. That's the one right off the bat we were all told. What we were complaining about was a reduction in taxes and the Stamp Act and the Townshend Act, which Parliament and the king had every right to do, even when Patrick Henry was complaining about it in the House of Burgess. He wrote what was called the Virginia Resolves in 1767, and he said, we are the ones that determine what people can pay in taxes, but we still do it at the approbation of the king, which means approval of the king. Well, the king never said anything for 250 years, and the reason the king and the parliament started passing more taxes was because, according to a treaty they signed with France and the Indian tribes, they were trying to curb the expansion of the colonists into Indian territory because the Indians were getting mad, and the British had to keep sending more troops and more Tories to defend these people. So at a time where it cost Britain 400,000 pounds to keep troops in the North American colonies of Britain to protect the people, Britain actually only collected 43,000 pounds in revenue. The British colonies were a loss leader for Britain. The nobility was making money, but the government was losing money. And the other thing that people don't talk about is that once France entered into the war, it now became a world war. The king no longer cared about the Americas and the colonists, because he knew he could get them back under control. They had no real military. Even Washington said it. We cannot win this without France. Only France has the weapons and the arms and the ships to be able to compete with Britain. And from that point forward, the war turned into battles on the sea outside the Americas, outside the Caribbean, even as far away as Gibraltar. And the war that literally went on was between France and Britain, not between France and the, quote, United States of America. A lot of the loyalists were actually forming militias to assist the Tories to put down the rebels. everybody thinks it's like some collective movement. There was well over 50% of the people, even by the end of the war, 80% at the beginning, because their attitude was, we're either going to be taxed by the king or we're going to be taxed by the nobility. Who gives a crap? That was their attitude.